hopefully some really practical things about how you can be light in the darkness, how you can be light in the darkness. If you came in, maybe you got a handout, and you'll be able to see some things, especially if you're not able to to view the screen here. And so want you to have that. Verse number 7, and again, stand with us one more time, and let's read the scripture together. Be not ye therefore partakers with him. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You've been changed and are different to make a difference. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit's in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. You can have assurance of your salvation, and you can have guidance in following God's vocational and everyday will as you walk in as children of the light. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And everybody in here who likes to correct people, this is not exactly what you think it means. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest or unveiled or revealed by the light. For whatever does make manifest is light. And we keep wanting to put thus in there, but he's talking qualitatively here. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. This paraphrase of Isaiah 60 verse 1. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I want to talk about being lights in the darkness, being lights in darkness. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, front to back, left to right, speak to heart. Help me focus on the task at hand. I pray I would be just lasered in. I pray that you would be honored this morning. God, that your word would be magnified, that you would be magnified, and we would be challenged. More than that, Lord, before we get home, before we let the sermon wash away from us, that it would change us. In the Spirit of God, would you do that in our lives? So help me to preach, enunciate well. I pray you give me strength. And Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. We love you, and we need you. And I pray all this in your son's wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. One thing is I wanted to remind you is we're finishing up this little section. I chopped it in half. I don't like doing that, but I didn't want to kind of rush through it. And I suggested, remind you, verse 7, the last time, that Christ commands us to live differently. You and I have been commanded to be different because we are different. You used to be in darkness, One of the most attractive and one of the most vital things you can do and amazing things to do is have a changed life. When things are different, people go, man, what's different with you? What's different? Where's this coming from? Why are you getting along with your wife? Why are you getting along with your husband? What do you mean you can't go out drinking Friday night? What are you talking about here? And there's such power in the changed life. And you've been commanded to do that because it's true of you. You used to be this way. I suggested to you that every person who's ever followed Christ has got a past they've been saved from. And part of your testimony ought to be what you used to be and what God and where you are. And God's not done with you yet. And we're to live differently. We live differently because we are different. We are different. I'm amazed at how much with the dark that we like, that we seem to enjoy. they did a survey some years ago, and they stopped doing them because they were so discouraging. But they surveyed entertainment choices. They surveyed all kinds of things. And mark for mark, tick box for tick box, folks who said they knew Christ, folks who said they didn't know Christ, all checked the same kind of things. They did a little sting on the National Religious Broadcaster Association a dozen years or so ago now, and it had met in Charlotte. In Charlotte at the, right outside of Charlotte there Tammy Faye Baker, whatever that place is called now. And thank you. And they did that there, and they did a little sting on them, and the place was sold out, and it was all these Christian broadcasters and TV people and all, and they leaked how much of the pay-per-view ugly kind of movies and rated X kind of thing that they had watched, and it was astronomical. And of course, Charlotte Observer caught it and carried it, and the National Wires caught it. And again, the headline was basically national religious broadcasters hypocrites, because they're supposed to be different, but they were doing it in total just like anybody else who would come in for a convention. You live differently. Live differently. You're to live differently on purpose. And that looks like, it looks like a three things. Go if you're verse 8 there, if you're with me. I want you to see it. I'm just using this as a big springboard here. Verse 9, rather. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. See, what is living in the light? What is living as witnesses? What is living this way look like? Well, it's got three comparisons. He talks about goodness and righteousness and truth. Make sure you get those. Make sure you get those. There's a moral quality to that. There's a moral quality to that. that goodness, a moral excellence of heart. There's to be righteous behavior, and there's to be integrity there. Goodness to others, righteousness toward God, and then all those come together in how you live out your life. Because if you tell me, man, you live in the light, I don't know what that means. I don't do well. I don't do well with amorphous kind of commands. Somebody gets frustrated with me, like, just stop doing that. Well, you're going to need to tell me what I was doing, because I didn't know you were in the room, number one. Number two, I didn't realize you were annoyed. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me. I remember looking at my brother when we were kids one time, and Mark said, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm holding my breath. Why? Because mom's mad. I don't know why. I figure the breathing's bothering her. And he's like, okay, that's my turn to go outside. I said, save me. And you're there. And so when you say, well, you just need to do this or do that, you don't describe it and define it, I'm glad he does there. Glad he does there. So with everything said like that, how do we approach these last verses? How do we approach these last verses? What do we do at verse 11, 12, 13, 14? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What do we do there? What do we do there? Remember, in the grand scheme, he's done something for us. Done something so well. And again, let me get there quickly. He's done something so well for us. He said, imitate the Lord. Be you followers of Christ, the dear children. He pulls back, be forgiving. Then he talks about as you're imitating the Lord. And I say we have a hard time imitating the Lord because we don't spend enough time with the Lord. Is anybody in here that's true of you? People that you're around, you kind of imitate pretty well. And you can understand them. But we don't do that. And he's writing to believers. He is just straight as dog's breath in the morning. Do not do this and do this. Don't act like them because you're different. Act like Jesus here. This is to be characteristic in your life. We lack power and punch and vitality in our witness, in our testimony to the lost world, because we act like the world and we don't act like believers. We act like lost people and we love what lost people love, and we don't act like we love Jesus most of all. We sing half-heartedly, we give sporadically, we attend occasionally, we pick up the Bible when it suits us, we learn a verse on a rare occasion, and we think we can do differently, and we can be completely enamored by the world and give a little bit of lip service, and we are not making the impact we should because we're not doing what God said we're supposed to do. But be different here. How do we do this? How is this? So, preacher, you got me. I'm there. I understand. What do we do? So let's set it up. Let's set it up. You with me? If you're with me, say amen. All right, here we go. So go to verse 9 here. Let's set it up. Let's set up a little bit. Can we do that? Chick, chick. All right. Let's set it up. He talks about darkness and light. So how are we to do this? How are we to do this? In the Jewish mind in particular, there was two things going on. If you talked about darkness and light, they thought you were talking about something moral and something intellectual. And so when a person's in darkness, they're in the realm of evil. They're in the realm of evil morally and intellectually. They're ignorant and or they believe lies. They believe lies. Anybody in here since 2020 January ever had a discussion with anyone about anything controversial? Like four of you, there you go. Some of you going, oh yeah, I have. I have. Anybody had a stranger try and persuade you of something? Well, you know, it's this. You know, it's this. Somebody said, what was the craziest thing about being sick? being sick. the number of people, the absolute number of people who knew better than all of my doctors. And that was funny. And then one time when I was in the hospital, I had three different doctors in a rotation, and two of them disagreed with the third. I got news for it. When the people wearing the stethoscopes disagree, that made me nervous. I just argue in the hall. Don't come argue in front of me. I'm like, oh, no. One of you is right and one of you is wrong, and one of you needs a referee. Please, somebody help me here. And we're here, and we're like, aren't you amazed by a world that just believes almost anything and believes almost everything? Somebody sent me something the other day. Said somebody set their car on fire because something they saw on TikTok. I don't blame TikTok for that. I blame the person who went, oh, yeah, I don't think it'll make my car blow up. I don't understand. I don't know if they've ever heard of editing. And these kind of, and by the way, if that was you, I apologize. I'm not making fun of you. You shouldn't do that, though, and I bet you don't ever do that again. And we're here, and we believe it. If you, I was up, we went out to eat. Allison's in town. We went out to eat a Friday afternoon or Friday evening, and I saw all kind of people. I saw ladies holding hands, men holding hands. I saw people pierced all to pieces and clothes tore all to pieces. I saw folks, man, in long underwear and sweltering hot, and it's 94 degrees outside. I saw all kind of funny hats. I saw people look like they just got out of bed, kind of the PJ apparel. I saw people really dressed to the nines. I mean, whole deal. And just all kind of things just kind of coming in and out of the restaurant. Anybody else besides me, you know, you see all kind of stuff. And folks young and in love, no after you. And I'm like, one of you got to go. I got to get by here. And, and so we're doing all this stuff. And I sat at the table, and I said, you know, just forget for a minute anything morality. Just whatever. Throw it out the window. Just as a thought experiment. Somebody has told the 70 or so people I saw trying to get in the restaurant. Somebody's told those people that if you do this, you'll be happy. If you decide, you know, you're going to be loud and proud, that'll make you happy. If you decide you're going to bed somebody different four nights of the week, you're going to be happy. If you change your body, if you gain weight or lose weight, you'll be happy. If you color your hair, you'll be happy. If you shave your head, you'll be happy. If you put the, the little clip there, you'll be happy. Well, whatever it is, forget anything about morality, forget anything about Scripture. But nobody's told them that isn't true. Your happiness in life is not about you. And at the end of you satisfying yourself, you're still going to be empty. And there's no amount of clothing and fun. There's no amount of art and work and hair product. And thank the Lord. There's no amount of that's going to make you happy. That's not how you're wired. And wanted to scream, somebody's lying to you. And they're taking your money for it because you cannot be there. And that's a fine line I try and walk. I'm not mad at people who are in ignorance. I'm just trying to call them to the truth. Man, you don't know. Let me tell you a better way. Let me introduce you to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the way you can be happy. We can take care of your sins, and you can be right with the Father, and all this other accoutrement is that. It's just accessories, and you don't need accessories. You need transformation. And the folks that are in the darkness, they don't even get it, and they don't understand. And they're filled with this. And they're being lied to. I used to like to say about Satan, Satan's the great deceiver and the great deceived. So I think Satan thinks he can take him. I think at the Battle of Armageddon, I think he thinks when he gets enough folks, he can take him down. The one who is as close as could be to the throne of God, and he is self-deceived, and he's the great deceiver. He's a great deceiver. And this is the realm that people live in. Again, beat me mad, be angry. I love the passion of politics and those kind of things. But understand, folks in darkness, many don't know they're in darkness. They're trying whatever they can to feel better and to be happier. And it's not going to work. Never works. Never supposed to work. He says, he talked about those folks that are in light. Again, morally, then, they'd be subscribed to holiness. Intellectually, they'd be people of the truth. They'd be people of the truth. I want us to be careful. I want us, I want us to be people of the word. Somebody say amen to that. I want to be people of the book. People ask me, what kind of church? Harden Valley Church. I said, well, they got an ugly pastor. And they're like, oh, really? What's his name? And I don't know what to do then when they call me on my joke. And what's the church like? I said, we're a Bible church. I don't say that apologetically. I just say, that's just it. We're a Bible church. We exalt the word because it exalts Jesus. He exalted his word above his name. We want to be people. We want to be in the word, get the word in us. We want to live out the word. We want to give out the word. We want to rightly proclaim the word. We want to do those things. I don't know of a better thing for a church to be than a Bible church. A Bible preaching, Bible loving, Bible living church. Why? Because that's reflection of people of the light. People of the light. We're to be doing this. We're to be doing this. So I've got a few scriptures there for you. I think I put them in your in your notes. What does he say about it? Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. You know what this section need to do? You pray for your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, your extended family. You pray for them, because many of them are walking around and they are just as blind as they can be. That's why church work and scripture and spiritual work is also spiritual warfare. You're talking to people that have been strangled and are blinded and don't know it. And they are, as Jonathan Edwards would say, on the very spider's web precipice of hell, awaiting their damnation, and they don't understand it. And we get to tell them there is something different and let Jesus open their eyes so they can see. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, became empty, vain of their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. I defy you to scroll through the internet. I defy you to scroll through your cable subscription, sir. I defy you to run through HBO Max or Netflix or Hulu or whatever and not see empty imaginations and hearts getting more and more darkened and people just as proud and as arrogant to throw that in the face of God. See, people get better. Nope, they get worse. Ephesians 4:18, we did that several weeks ago. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated, cast off from the life of God through ignorance is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So how do I pray for service? Pray for blind men to see. Pray for blind women to see. Pray for the darkness to be taken away. Pray for them to want what is there at the edge of the gospel. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. If you got your notes in front of you, look at it. But if not, open up to 1 John 1. I got a little bit of time here. 1 John 1, verse 5. You still with me? Say amen. 1 John 1, 5. Excuse me. John 1, 5. 1 John 1, 5. As soon as you got it, kind of wink at me, wiggle your eyebrows at me, throw something at your neighbor. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Put whatever you want in the back of your car, but understand that the yin-yang is not biblical. God is not a duality. He's not equal parts darkness and light. May the fourth be with you. If you want to dress up and put on robes and do your hair in buns, knock yourself out, understand there's not a light side and a dark side. God is all light, and there is no darkness in him at all, and darkness in him at all. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice the binary statement here. He's making sure you get this. There is saved people and lost people. We try and do the gray and the neutral. He does not. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. How do I know that I belong to him? Then I'm interested, one, and I have communion with other believers. And this is what I love. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And everything that has to do with human merit is taken away there. It's not about what you did or done. It's about what he finished. His completed, finished work. His precious blood. 20 years ago, the church was arguing vehemently about this, and I refused to participate because I said the precious blood of Jesus is not a political kickball, and I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to skirmish about this. The Bible says it's precious, and you better back up and punt before you just try and do things that denigrate what the Bible says is valuable. The Bible says it's valuable. It is the precious blood of Christ. So we understand it. So we've got these kind of things. So how the practical? So I understand it, preacher. Give me some take home. Give me some take home. If you got your Tupperware, anybody ever show up at somebody's house, you got Tupperware already? I hope you brought your Tupperware. I'm going to give you some things to take home. Or a plastic, I'm sorry. Everybody under 40, the plastic stuff. Old Chinese takeout tubs. All right, is that got everybody? All right, so here we go. So how do we live in the light? How do we reflect light in the darkness? How do we be, as I illustrated last time, how do we act like the moon reflecting the glory of the sun? How do we do this as lesser lights? Number one, don't participate in sin. Do not participate in sin. Verse 7, be not therefore partakers with them. Do not participate in sin. The requirements to heed the warning against it and expose the darkness put every Christian in the dilemma to be in the world but not of it. You are to be different. You are not to participate. They use ugly language. You just can't go there. They start talking about their old man or their old woman. Can't go there. Not going to do that. They start dropping F-bombs and S-bombs. They start doing this. Dude dials up something on his phone, sticks in your face. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. Somebody says it's happy hour somewhere. Hey, I've had happy hour ever since Christ found me and saved me from my sin. Thank you, but no thank you. Not going to be a part. Do not partake with him. Get the context here. He's talking to believers. Two believers who either are around erring, disobedient brothers, wait for it, or they're losing their impact in the lost world. Don't join in. Do not join in. Some of you have been around church, you've been saved longer than I have, and you have watched the church slowly, try and act like and emulate the world. Some of you were here. We were talking about trying to put the little paneling on the wall, and you came to me very kindly. I hadn't been here very long. Very kindly, preacher. We're not going to be that kind of church. And I'm like, I'm just kind of, you know, we came here. It was a lot of flowers, and it was fairly a flowery and not feminine, but a little more like that. So I'll just put some wood and stuff like that. And some of you had to give me some credit. You had to give me some credit and do that. And now, like I said, I don't think you'd think I'd be trying to do anything that, quote unquote, would be worldly or anything like that. I think it helps. And again, with my complexion, a pale white wall behind me on occasion, you know, the only thing you would see is my tie. And so, but I like that attitude. I like that spirit, man. We're not going there. We're not doing that. Somebody says, preacher, you know, we could do this and this and this. Listen, I understand how to get a crowd. I really think I do. And I want a crowd to preach to, but I don't want to ever compromise things to do for a crowd, because I'm interested that the church honor Christ, and I will not participate in sin. Will not participate in sin. Just, we cannot do that. You cannot do that. You are not, you're commanded not to do that. You've been changed by that. Why? Why? He says you need to understand the corrosive power of sin, the extremely corrosive power of sin. You still with me? Verse 7, be not partakers with him. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them. I'm going to get to that in a second. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. A gentleman in our church was a master craftsman or carpenter. I think, are they still called master carpenters, master craftsmen? It's been a minute since I've been in that world. Does that still sound right? He wasn't YouTube famous, but anyway. But people would hire him. They'd hire him in these higher-end houses and whatever to build this or build that. But he could come in and spec build a stairwell. He'd build a spiral. He could, whatever you wanted. He could just, you bring him in, he'd do it. And he was very expensive, my understanding. He had three precious girls and a son. They were all in our youth ministry, and John had gotten saved. And just a neat fella. He came into midweek service one time. He said, preacher, I got something for you. I said, okay, John. He said, I went to work this job site, he said, and said they barely had electricity, but said what it didn't know is they'd gotten the place wired for an alarm. Said last time I was there, it was just a lockbox. And he said, I go in and don't understand it. He said, I've set off the silent alarm. We're a good bit out of town, so it's going to take them a minute to get there. He said, so I'm a doing my work. He said, and I, he said, and nobody's made coffee. I forgot to get some in the house. I found out the electricity's on, so I got the coffee going. And he said, I didn't dump out the old coffee. He said, so coffee starts making. All of a sudden, I start hearing Niagara Falls go in there, and man, all over this untreated wood, you know, coffee's pouring everywhere, and I gotta do that. And said, I don't have any coffee. And he said, and I burned my hand. He said, and I go start working on the staircase. He said, I hadn't had my coffee. I'm kind of upset. He said, and about that time, I hear hands up. He said, and the popo's gotten there. Popo's gotten there because I broken in. Said, I didn't know they had an alarm. So I'm middle of this and claw hammer. He said, and I come down on my finger and split it. He said, and I raised my hand, blood's running down, police don't know what to do. I explain things. This is that. We have a good chuckle. And he said, and I'm bleeding so bad. He said, this is still 8:30 in the morning. I've barely gotten started. He said, I don't have any coffee. He said, no. So I'm wrapping my finger, that's not doing anything. He said, I've got some turpentine. He said, so I kind of soaked my rag in turpentine and wrapped my finger thinking it'll heal what's ailing me. He said, now go in there and the coffee's done. All right, I'm just going to reset. I've almost been shot and been arrested. I've messed things up. I've split my finger open. I poured out the coffee. He said, so I pour me a cup of coffee and I'm standing there and I'm getting my bearings. Okay, what I got to do? He said, and all of a sudden my belly's on fire. He said, and that turpentine I'd wrapped my finger in, he said, just ate a hole right there in that styrofoam cup. He said, and the coffee starts pouring out. It's running on my belly. It's running down my leg. And I said, what'd you do, John? He said, I called my employer, said I'd be back tomorrow. He said, I figured that's the way the day had gone. That's the way I'm going home. We understand that. It's difference in gargling with salt water and gargling with sulfuric acid. Say, it won't affect me. Read it again. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done to them in secret. Some sins are unbelievably corrosive. Don't partake in it and understand you will not get out unscathed. There's ugliness that's there. And I don't know where we got in our minds that the best thing we can do, watch on TV and movies, is watch what happens. It ought to be absolutely positively in secret, much less those things that are wicked on face value. It impresses on them the importance of producing the fruit of the Spirit, the works of goodness, righteousness, truth. There is corrosive power there, but there is transformative power in being a part of the light of God, learning to live in His light. Number two, number three, learn to share the truth with others. Learn the truth to share it with others. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might sin against God. Well, why do you say there's only one way to heaven? Well, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why do you say, you know, you just ought to be free and do all these things? No, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Children, honor and obey your parents. This is God's divine order. Know the Scripture. Learn the truth to share with others. Learn the truth. Learn the truth so you can have it, so you can tuck it away. Number three ties in with number four, if you'll allow me here. Live and speak consistently before a lost world. Live and speak consistently. Verse 11 there, at the end of it. Rather reprove them. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things are reproved that are approved are made manifest. They're unveiled. They're revealed by the light. For whatever does make manifest is light. Live and speak consistently. Days and days and weeks years and years, I bagged groceries and racked bottles and mopped floors. I, like many of my generation, got a first jobs in the grocery store business. Anybody in here ever put groceries in a paper sack? A few of you. Anybody in here remember what paper looks like? It's not plastic. And we were full service, as in we closed at 7 or 8 at night so I could work after school in a 24-hour store, and we mopped the floors, the whole complex every night. And you would mop, and you'd get to the end of your aisle and wring that out, and you'd go, and you'd skip aisles. There's usually two or three of us that would close. And I remember doing this, and I remember hearing the manager, assistant manager, who was closing and locking up, going, Holloman, and I don't remember Matt's last name all of a sudden. But anyway, and Smith, they're already done with two aisles. You're still working on the first one. You've been shown up. Put you back in it. We got to get out of here. They're not going to do your work for you. Let me say it a different way. You ever worked a job and you were really working and everybody else was on the five-minute break for the last 55 minutes? And you're like, I can't believe we're getting the same money. I can't believe we're doing this. The restaurant we stopped into, there was one person working. There was four people watching them work. I was like, I'd have such a bad attitude, I'd be throwing things right now. Get out there and wipe a table. Do something. It exposes. Your life will expose other people. Let me help you. There's a great part of that. Your marriage will help other people see what a godly marriage is supposed to look like. The way you raise your children will help lost people understand this is how it's supposed to be. The way you live as a little more mature believer will help other folks new to the faith going, okay, so that's how that's supposed to work. Again, that's one of the beauties of some of our groups. You get to do life together. You get to hear from folks been down the road a little further. Some folks who are seeing it for the first time, you go, hey, man, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I'm going to do that way. We learn to encourage because light is not just revealing, but the light is transforming. And there is something about you living your life according to the dictates of Scripture that impacts and influences others. It is a conviction and it is a correlation. Something about it says, I want what you have. I spent my 20s and early 30s. Anybody over 50 who would give me a moment of time, how'd you do it in your marriage? How'd you raise your kids? How you handle your money? How have you stayed so long in the ministry and you got a good heart about it? How are you doing this? I would buy them lunch. I'd buy them dinner. I'd buy them coffee. I offer them money for their time. I want to know what you know because I'm interested in heading the way you're heading. We're to be doing this. You live and speak consistently. You act like they do and then you try and come off all high and mighty. They go, man, you're just like I am. What are you talking about? I saw you pawing on that girl. I saw you pawing on that boy. I saw you over there. No. Live consistently. Speak consistently. Well, see, I'm just gonna live a good life. I don't know where we got that. I do, actually. That's not what he meant. And that's not what you're supposed to do. Hey, I'm not drowning. Doesn't help anybody understand how they're not supposed to drown. Just you swimming well. Hey, here's what you do. Truth of the matter is, hey, I say you're drowning. Let me come over there and help you. Interact and engage. It's my life and my lips. Speak consistently, knowing your wisdom and testimony. It's going to expose sin. It's going to bring conviction. That's the root of that word there, expose or reprove, all those things, that it brings conviction. You've exposed that they're not working hard. That guy's not mopping like he's supposed to. You didn't laugh at that joke. You made him feel bad because he said something ugly, and you, because of the quiet witness you are, I'm not participating in your sin. So I don't make things awkward. It's supposed to make things awkward. Unholiness is never supposed to be comfortable with holiness. We used to say it a lot around here, and I had to stop saying it because I've saying it too much. I always want unchurched people, lost people, to feel very welcome in our church. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I want to feel welcome. I want to be loved on. Give them donuts. Give them watermelon. I want all that. But I don't want unchurched, out of fellowship, unrighteous people to feel okay. I want there to be knot in the stomach, man. This is a holy place. Church is practice for heaven. We do here what we will do forever there. And I want that. I want to make sure it's going to bring conviction. It's going to bring conviction. It exposes. It does all these things. And then number five, I'm done. Number five. Anybody can be changed through the power and the resurrection of Christ. Woo! He pulls up song. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. He quotes Isaiah 61. Ugh. Again, I've got, quite a few books. quite a few commentaries and study tools from, you know, some of them are a couple hundred years old. A lot of them say this. They really think he's quoting part of Isaiah 60, verse 1, because they sang this as a Easter or a resurrection song. What in the world does a resurrection song have to do in these first 14 verses? Because it is a tall order, these first 14 verses. Verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetous, let it not be once named among you, as become saints, filthiness, foolish talking. Verse 4, jesting, which are not convenient, rather giving of thanks. Skip on down there. We read it last time there. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Redeeming the time. You use the time differently. You view your life differently. You view entertainment differently. You view your music differently. Verse 19, all these things. He says, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Jesus Christ will give thee light. Anybody can be different. See, it's transforming. God saved me. Guess what? He can save you. God changed me. He can change you. You got a past just like I do, but your past can end today, and your new present can begin. And what God starts today, he's going to continue to do it until you meet him or he comes back, until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is the hope that we have. So I'm going to live consistently. I'm going to speak consistently. I can't go where you go. I can't do what you do. I can't say what you say. I cannot do that because I want you to come with me. I want you to join in now. I'm a part of the light now. God's brought me through. I'm not blind anymore. I can see. I've got the truth, and you can have it too. Awake, thou that sleepest. Stir yourself up. It's resurrection time. Your life can be different now. How do you act as childlike? Because you're going, you can be different, and you can be different, and you can be different, and you can be different, because I'm different. And he's not done with me. And the more I read of this, and the more time I spend with him, the more he changes me, and the less I love all that junk, and the more I love the stuff that he loves. Come on. I want you to have the kind of marriage that honors God. I want you to kind of have singlehood that honors God. I want you to raise your family that honors God. I want you to be a worker in the business world that honors God. I want you to follow me. Don't do this stuff. And if you're here and you know Christ and you got tagged by one of these spiritual BBs in the last 3 weeks, you understand it again. You are not to partake. You are not to act that way. God commands it. Chapter 5 is full of command. You don't get to vote on it. You get to pray about it. You're to be different because he's made you different, and he's calling you to help the lost world be different through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. John Bishop, for years and years, traveled as an itinerant evangelist. A debilitating set of diseases, circumstances, one of those cerebral palsy. Similar one since testimony, some of you know David Ring. Bishop had married some children, but just cascading illnesses. He had just been to our home church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And I heard him later at a conference, and he said he was just as low as he could have been. He was going blind on top of everything else. Stair-step children, and he's just out of sorts. God had kept him alive, but just in a camp that they would kind of not caretake of, but they were allowed to stay in the cabin in the off-season instead of having to be in their RV. He said he was in there, and he was so discouraged. He said it began to snow. He didn't realize how much. He said, and everybody had gone to bed. He sat there by the fire, and he says, I'm just done. I'm done. So he runs out. He said, I run out. He said, I'm in my pajamas. He said, I don't have on shoes. He said, what I think's a little bit of snow is a lot of snow, and it's coming. He said, I'm out, and I'm crying, and I'm mad, and I'm angry, and my feet are immediately freezing. He said, I'm in terrible health. I'm losing my eyesight. My family is better off without me. He says, and I get completely turned around in the heavy snow, the darkness, and I'm at this camp. He said, I want to live, but I'm stuck. I don't walk very well anyway. I don't know where I'm at. He said, it's not going to be long frostbite. He said, I'm toast. He said, the warmest thing on my body, the hot tears, how foolish I am. I didn't even tell my family goodbye. What am I going to do? Evangelist Bishop said, I couldn't do anything. I just fell to my knees. I said, I was broken. I would be dead before the family knew I was gone. They would awake in the morning and wonder where I was. He said, at that moment, I hit my knees. He said, and completely incidentally to me, I was under the tree line. He said, and underneath the lowest branch, I saw the light of home. With all the strength I had left, I crawled and cried and ran in the direction of the light. I got to the door, opened it, tore off my wet clothing, screamed for my wife, and they started trying to rehabilitate me and see what medical attention I needed. He said, outside of a hospital, I've never been as close to dying and never been more sure that it was. And I've never been more thankful for the light that pointed me in the right direction. I got news for you. This crowd, this many hours in the next week, this many days, you're going to run into all kind of people who desperately need you to point them home. To point them home. You got no idea what kind of struggle they're going through. You got no idea what kind of heartache they're going through. You have no idea how much in bondage to lies, and they don't know. And they would love for somebody to say, hey, I know the way, the truth, and the life. I know the light of the world. And he can set you free and deliver you from your darkness. You may run into all kind of people with their last gasp looking under the tree line, and you're going to get to go, hey, it's this way. It's this way. Pray with me right now. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the word. Thank you for how you speak in our hearts. Lord, in a crowd this size, there are some who need to leave some things. They need to stop partaking whatever it is they're doing. Stop participating. Lord, there may be some need to go home, turn over some bottles. Need to be some need to cancel an engagement party, or a party where it's going to be things they don't need to do, rather. And need to be some folks maybe who even go to work tomorrow, Tuesday, and go, you know, I've been laughing at things I shouldn't. I've been letting it go by when you blaspheme the name of the Lord, and I'm not participating anymore. Lord, I pray we wouldn't be rude, but we would be valiant.